26 this morning, and we're going to start reading in verse 16. I want to preach to you about a continuing ministry. We got work to do yet. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that for a little bit this morning. We say we're at the end of days. Well, it ain't over yet. The rapture hadn't taken place. Amen. And the Lord, we don't see the Lord coming in the clouds with great glory. Amen. So there's more to do yet. When you see him, that'll be when your working time's over. Amen. So let's look here in chapter number 26 and verse 16. Let's just talk about a continuing ministry for a little bit. Verse 16, this is Paul's conversion, or this is Paul standing before the King Agrippa, and he's talking about his conversion. Verse 15, he said, I said, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. So we're talking about, Paul is talking about his conversion time. But he says, here's what the Lord told him. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. This is the purpose that the Lord appeared to him. And whether you know it or not, this is the purpose that the Lord appeared to you. The Lord didn't come by and just save you to make you a Baptist or save you to make you a member of People's Baptist Church. The Lord saved you to put you in his body and make you an ambassador for him. Amen. So he says, arise and stand upon thy feet. That's what some of you need to do. You need to get on your feet. Amen. And a lot of Christians are living on their knees, and I guess you could make good application of that. You need to be praying, amen. But a lot of people are living just like they're defeated, amen. That's not what you're supposed to do. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Time to get up. Time to do some things, amen. It's time to quit watching the Grammys and see who won this award and won that award and start getting some of your own awards, amen. So he says, he said, I appeared unto thee for this purpose to make thee a minister. God's going to give you some things. You need to minister, administer, give it to somebody else. He said, make you a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto you. I want you to tell them about what I've done for you right now. And on top of that, I'm going to tell you some more things. Some of you learned John 3:16. And that's probably the best thing you ever learned. But God's going to tell you some more things after that. Amen. And we talked about that in Sunday school this month. Just laying up knowledge. Just laying it up. As much as you can go out there and study your Bible. I'm speaking kind of like an example. But just cut down all you can get and lay it up in the old barn and say, God, give me a chance to use it somewhere. Amen. And so it's just like the little boy with the match. He's out there trying to burn stuff in the backyard. Just take all you can get out of the Bible and just go around and start fires. Amen. I know some of you played with matches before. Some of you was good little boys and girls and didn't. But I can remember getting a book of matches. Everyone's, I want to see what this will do. Amen. We'll get you some ammunition. Go out there and burn up the town. Amen. And I mean with the gospel, not literally. If there's any, I don't want to see nothing in the newspaper about you getting arrested. Well, Brother Mike told us to burn the city down. I mean, I didn't mean it quite like that. Amen. But he says, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. I'll give you some more stuff later, he says. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And this is the reason he said, I'm going to send you to them. To open their eyes. There's some blind folks out there. There might be some blind folks sitting in here, don't know what life is all about. You can get your eyes open this morning. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Away with this religion that just invites the darkness in and you can keep the darkness and God is love and Jesus loves you and you love me and I love you. Away with that kind of stuff. God told you to turn away from that stuff. Amen. The Bible says we're to let our light so shine. That's turn on the light. Chase away the darkness. Show what is right. Show what is wrong. Hey, let people get loose from that stuff. It's trying to kill you. Amen. So the Lord told Paul, he said, I'm going to send you to them so you can open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. God has more power than the devil. People looking for all this power from the devil, and it's the power to improve self or the power to glorify self. It's the power of pride. But the Lord has the power of righteousness, and it's a greater power. Amen. And it'll serve you better. There's a better service you can do for yourself than serving yourself. Amen. And that's to turn on the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Then you'll experience the power of God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Amen. That's Romans 1:16, by the way. From the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's worth a truckload right there. Yeah. Yeah. Forgiveness of sins. So, well, I sinned a great sin. Did you get forgiven a great forgiveness? You ought to be glad about that. You ought to be thankful about that. When I ask for, I know I'm not saying this to ridicule you or anything like that, but when I ask for, hey, can God's people testify about anything that God did for you good, even if it was this past week or whatever the case may be? Hey, I've been forgiven of my sins, amen? Because I've sinned a heap of sins in the last month, ain't you? But I tell you what, I mean, when at the end of the day or in the middle of the day or the first thing in the morning, you can get up and say, hey, God, forgive me because I done that unrighteous thing. Forgive me because I done that terrible thing. Forgive me because I did it again. I did it again. I can't believe I keep doing that. And that, God, would you forgive me for it? And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes I catch myself. I do ask God for forgiveness. Sometimes I'll catch myself a week later going, God, I just can't believe I've done that. He said, done what? Because it's gone. It's cleansed. The person that bothers is us. If you got anything about you, it'll bother you a little bit, but I think you ought to grow in grace enough to realize, hey, that stuff is forgotten. They used to sing a song, and it's biblical. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. In the book of life, they've all been forgot. All them things are washed away, amen? And so when I say, hey, has God done anything for you? Hey, yeah, He has healed you. He has helped you. He has strengthened you. He has done all those things for you. But He forgave you of your filth and your rottenness and your no goodness and your rebellion and your going astray. Boy, He forgives you about that. You can say, hallelujah, I'm forgiven. Amen. Well, if you're forgiven, what's the problem? If you're forgiven, what do you really got to worry about? Oh, well, I might die today. Yeah, but you die and go to heaven. You die and go to be with the Lord forever. Amen. Forgiven. That's a great blessing. Amen. And the Lord says, hey, Paul, what I want you to do is go bring these people from darkness to light. Tell them about, get them away from the power of the devil and bring them over to the power of God. Hey, and on top of that, their sins be forgiven. Hey, if we had to get in line to go up to God with our sins unforgiven, we'd be of all men most miserable. Amen, but that's not the case. We can come to God, we can get away from the power of the devil, and on top of that, we can get our sins forgiven. George Jones won't do that for you. Michael Jackson won't do that for you. Oh, I've hit some of your gods, George Jones, Johnny Cash, and Johnny Paycheck. Hey, those fellas don't know what's going on. They sure can sing. I don't give a rip if they can sing or not. They don't know Jesus. Well, they talk about, yeah, they talk about Jesus, and they got a fifth of liquor back. Hey, the Jesus I know let you loose from a fifth of liquor. Amen. 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 Listen, one time I was in the Marine Corps, and I got to go and see a, what's this fella's name? I can't even remember now. Slipped right off the end of my tongue. Devil went down to Georgia. Come on. Charlie Daniels. Went to a Charlie Daniels concert. And you know, about that time he was talking, he was still singing, you know, the devil went down to Georgia and all that stuff, but he was talking about how he got, how he found the Lord Jesus. And I was like, okay, well, I was, you know, backslid myself, so I went to see him, and after the concert, I got to go back behind the bleachers where he had his little motor home set up and went up in that motor home and sat down and talked with him for quite a big while. You think Brother Henry's big or Brother Jack Patterson's big. Man, I tell you what, he reached out there and shook my hand. He wrapped his hand around my little pinochle here about 6 or 7 times. That's a big old feller. But you know what? I got right up and close and personal to that guy, and he shook my hand. I looked him right in the face, and I saw the most emptiness and the most loneliness and the most, listen, you better get away from this pop star Christianity and find you something that'll not only give you forgiveness, but give you a light in your soul that everybody will be able to see it. When I look at Brother Ethan and he says, hallelujah, and I love Jesus, I see a light in there. When I look at these ladies and these men that's been serving the Lord for this time, I see a light in there. When I look at some of these folks out there that are just naming the name of Jesus, all I see is a hollowed out old shell of a person. Oh yes, I love Jesus and sing about the three crosses, and the next thing you know, you'll be walking naked down Main Street. Randy Travis, some of y'all Grand Ole Opry heroes, amen. You better find religion at the church, not the Grand Ole Opry, amen. I don't know how I got there, but anyway. Amen, that's right. Forgiveness of sins, that's what it's all about. It's not about just saying, yeah, I found religion. Hey, I found Jesus, and he saved my soul. He might have had to knock me down on the road to Damascus and blind me a little bit and keep me from myself a little bit, but hey, he saved my soul. He forgave me. He put me on a new path. He didn't keep me on the old path. He put me on a new path. He established my goings, amen. He pulled me up out of a miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Now listen, it'd be good if you just got forgiven, but God's good enough to forgive you and pull you out of the mire and clean you up and give you a better way to walk, give you a better way to think, give you a better something to talk about. Listen, when I got saved, I got something better to talk about than Hank Williams. Amen. I saw the light. Well, you died drunk in the back of a Cadillac. I don't know if you've seen the light or not, but when I saw the light, we turned from darkness unto light. It's a new life. It's a better life. You might be cooler than me, but one of these days you're going to be a lot hotter than me. Amen. That's exactly right. You can have George Jones and Hank Williams. Give me Jesus. Amen. I got something better than an old drunkard to talk about. Hey, the old drunkard that I'll talk about is the one I used to be, but God delivered me from that. Amen. 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 See, what people want is church, and they want that old life too. That's sentimental. That's all that sentiment. You know, this Christian rock stuff, that's just about a bunch of folks that named the name of Jesus, but they still want to have that old Michael Jackson beat. Amen. They God bless their heart. God saved them. He didn't save them because they quit their music. He saved them because they recognized his ability to save and their inability to save themselves. And God saved their pitiful little heart, but their foot still wants to tap to the beat. And they'll be living that life 10 years from now. Amen. And when they're, well, I would just take Amazing Grace and jazz it up and put a little bit of that rap beat in it, or put, and just get your own flavor. But I don't want to go that way. The Lord said he got something new and better. Amen. Lord God, listen, if you want to listen to rap music and country music, listen to it until hell freezes over. That's your business. But I'm telling you, God has something better for you. God, stop. I want things my own way. Hey, how about God's way? He's got something better for you. I mean, if you come up with your own stuff and you love all this stuff and you got to have all this stuff, just think of what God could come up with you for. Well, I mean, think what God would come up with for you. Don't you think he has something better for you? Sure. If he saved you from that old life, he'd give you a lot better life to look forward to. I done messed up my sermon, got off and started preaching. To open their eyes. Amen. Well, if your eyes was closed and you like that music, what about when you get your eyes open? Something's supposed to change. That old way of dressing immodest, when you get your eyes open, well, you can see that immodesty. Amen. Hey, that old way of talking with a filthy word in between every normal word. Have you ever heard somebody that had devolved to the point where every blank other blank word blank was a blankety blank, and this, you know, it wasn't fried chicken, it was pass me that blank chicken. If you got a cuss at the dinner table, man, there's something wrong with you. In the extreme, somebody's going to cut you off and you call them a blankety blank, but the fried chicken ain't done nothing to you. It's died and gave its life to sustain you. You're going to cuss it because there's something wrong with you. Well, if you was blind, well, the old song says, I once was blind, but now I see. One of the things I saw is my language ain't no count. Got a better way of talking now. I still sound like a dumb old country boy. I realize that. But I'm not adding no profanity to it to make things worse on top of that. Amen. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and to whom now I send thee, to open their eyes. What a great blessing that is to have your eyes open. Amen. I used to be a drunkard, but now I'm not a drunkard no more. Used to be a cusser, not a cusser no more. The list goes on and on. I mean, just used to be a pervert, not a pervert no more. Amen. Whatever you used to be, you're not that anymore. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's a good test for whether you got religion or whether you got Jesus. If you got religion, you are what you used to be. You just added Baptist to that. Some folks was drunkards, now they Baptist drunkards. Amen. I don't think I got to go on and belabor that point. But I once was lost and now I'm found. Amen. There's a change there that takes place. To open their eyes, turn them from darkness. Well, let's go on down to verse number 19. He's making his testimony here. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them. Hey, ain't you glad you got something better than one of these old falling down cabins in Folkestone, Georgia to look forward to? Let's don't fool ourselves. We all just poor people around here. Amen. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know the best people in this country lived on dirt floors. Yeah. Right. Amen. And spent about half their life sick because they was eating bacon out of a smokehouse that was probably dirtier than any trash can that was, you know, in this town today. They just wasn't the most sanitary people. And I was reading this book about some people up there around the mountain, and they got a bath about once a year, whether they needed it or not. Amen. That's just the way some people are. But I tell you this: what I'm trying to get across to you is it ain't going to hurt you to be poor in this life, as long as you got the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we spend so much time on our status. Spend so much time on our appearance. Man, if you saw the filthy rags that God seen you in when he found you, what's the use in, you know, covering it up, man? Just pour it out before the Lord and say, look at me, a filthy old beggar. Forgive me, and God will clean you up and help you out in that regard. Amen? So he said, you got an inheritance. This old stuff down here, listen, you could build you a house right now for $500,000, and in 6 weeks it wouldn't be worth $40. It'd have black mold in it. The roof would be leaking and every other thing. The bank would say it's worth $900,000, so they could charge you $800,000 in taxes, and then by the time you wanted to sell it to somebody, it'd be worth $25,000. It's worth something to them. It ain't worth nothing to you. You ever looked on a plot map and it shows the value of the house? It's the value to somebody else, not the value to you. My house has got value to sleep to me. What's the dollars and cents matter? You're just going to go in there and lay your head down and chew a little bit of food and sleep and take a bath and go to work somewhere else. Got to have all this stuff. You got an inheritance. What's your point, Brother Mike? You got an inheritance somewhere else. And the moth won't bite it, and the rust won't tarnish it, and the thief won't be able to break in and steal it. Amen? Amen. Amen. There won't be no thieves there. Amen. Amen. He says, inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Have you been sanctified by faith? If so, you got a job. Listen, if you've not been sanctified by faith, would you do that today? Some of you, it'd be just the biggest blessing in the world to you. So would it be a blessing to you? Yes, sir, we'll shout the victory. But listen, it's you that matters. When it comes to salvation, it doesn't matter if I shout or don't shout about it. What matters is you need to get born again. Some of you Baptists need to stop being Baptists and you need to get born again. You need to stop playing religion. You need to stop going through the motions. Brother Pedro talked about it. A Christian can go through the motions. But listen, the sad truth is a lot of people just got born and drug up through church. And the only thing they've ever been doing is going, I'm a Christian because Daddy took me to the Baptist church. And about 5 years old, they made me say this little prayer that I didn't understand. And they dunked me in the water. And I've been going to church. And I've been hating it. And I've been doing everything. everything they say not to do down there. But listen, no, sir. Salvation is participation, man. When you salvate, hey, I like this stuff. Amen. Come to church. When are we going to get out? Did you come to get out, man? Well, hey, God saved me to bring me here. God didn't save me to go to work 40 hours this week. I may have to work 40 hours this week, but God saved me so I can enjoy this. I'm not running from this. Oh, you preach too much. Too much preaching. You need to get saved. You need to get born again. Well, I just don't think you ought to have to go out and tell people all the time. God saved you to tell people. God didn't save you to come in here and go,
That's right.
Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. You're so judgmental. Try that. That ain't going to work. The preacher's not in here trying to run your life. He's trying to set you free so you can live your life, man. You need to get born again. Some of you just need to be sanctified. Sanctified. Well, we've got to go. It's Wednesday night. Brother Mike's going to be mad at us if we don't. No, God's going to be mad at you. Well, I don't see the Wednesday night service anywhere in the Bible. I don't see Sunday school nowhere in the Bible. Well, I see plenty of fools in the Bible.
Yeah.
How about that? You know, somebody told me about, I can't remember how, I think it was last year sometime, about not going to the altar. I don't believe in going to the altar. There ain't no Bible for going to the altar. Where's the Bible again it? Would you rather pray or not pray? Oh, would you rather, listen, I don't like all this preaching. Would you rather hear preaching or not hear preaching? At Sunday school, I don't believe in Sunday school. Would you rather learn the Bible or not learn the Bible? Well, I think I can learn the Bible just as good at home. Why ain't you? Because you are no good for nothing rebel. And that's only good if you're following Robert E. Lee, not following your own self. I ain't going. I ain't got time to go.
That's right.
You sound like a nagging old woman.
Right.
That's exactly right. God saved me, boy.
He saved me.
I'm not lost anymore.
That's right.
I'm not accountable for any of my sins.
That's right.
That's something to go shout about right there.
Yeah.
Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Well, I don't see. Hey, I see it. I see it. Amen. God's people get together. Hey, I go get together with them. Oh, they're going to have church on Monday night too? Yeah. Hell, I don't see Monday night in the Bible. You see revival service in the Bible? I don't see the word missionary in the Bible, but we're spending about $1 billion a year on it. Now I done struck the Baptist God right there. I believe in missions. Pack your bags and start. But I don't believe in all this other stuff because you don't believe. Something like, hey, they're having church down there. They're going to be preaching. They're going to be that old time singing. Is the preacher going to rear back and sock me right between the eyeballs and tell me a better way to live? Oh, yeah, there'll be plenty of that. Count me there, man. I'm there. Are they going to stand around and posture and fake and play to the crowd and fake cry and all this stuff? I don't want to go hear that. I don't want to go hear that. Now, I will admit that there's a lot of boring church going on. There is a lot of that. Well, we would like to thank you all for being here today. And we would like to thank Emma Johnson for her contribution to the Ladies Aid Committee. And we would like to thank Sister June for bringing that wonderful apple pie that she brought last week. I think she ought to be commended for that. And then this week we're going to have a committee that's going to discuss whether or not we should put ryegrass in the yard or if we should put sawgrass. And then the third Sunday from next month, we will get together and we will decide whether or not to elect a new deacon so that we can add another deacon to our 50 deacons to go along with our 75 church members. And then we will... I wouldn't want none of that neither. But give, hey, listen, when God saved me, put something down in my soul to go to the church and hear a preacher either preach and give me something substantive, and if he's not just going to teach and give me something substantive, get on the pews, holler, scream, I mean, say something, but scream and holler and make me uncomfortable and tell me the truth, whether it hurts or not, whether it feels good or not, say something that means something, say something that means more than you're going to find on Fox News, say something better than you're going to find on CNN. Tell me something that's going to give me some everlasting benefit. That's what God saved me for. And you know what the problem is? I said all that 15 minute worth of a rant to say this. Some people just need to get saved. You don't like preaching, you don't like singing, you don't like church, you don't like revival, you don't like the altar, you don't like nothing. You don't like nothing that people that love God like. I don't understand it. Something's the matter. Some of you just need to loosen up. You know what? Some Christian people that are genuinely saved need to just go, I'm saved. Come to church and get in your little part of your own little space in church, and somebody says amen. Somebody over here says hallelujah. I'm just not that way. Breathe a little bit, man. You've been saved. Okay, you've been saved. That's good. But now come out of your shell. Listen, you go to a ball game. You spent all of your life praising ball games and stuff like entertainment. Man, you go to a movie and sit there and Bruce Willis jumps out of a window, and on the way down he shoots a guy in every window. Pow, pow, pow. And lands on the ground 12 stories below and rolls over. You're like, yeah. Well, see, you're comfortable there. You go to a ball game and some fella gets this leather and rubber ball that somebody in China sewed together. And it goes like this and cuts over here and it hits that hole, scores a touchdown. You, whoa, yeah. Some guy standing up here. 98 miles an hour. Strike! Hey up, you're blind! You're comfortable right there. That's what you've been doing your whole life. Now you're saved by the grace of God and you come in here. You're out of your element. You're in a new element, baby. Get in here. Somebody says, amen. Oh, I can't handle that. What you need to realize, you've been called from darkness to light. You got something. What you need to do is just go, kind of like I'm doing on the inside. I'm saying, act like you're in shape. What you need to do is breathe. Amen. That is good. Hey. Paul the apostle being let over a wall in a basket is at least as good as two touchdowns. He got away. If it was the hero Bruce Willis on a movie and he's about to get shot and he jumps out the window, gets in the car and gets away, you're like, yes, he got away. My boy Bruce. I'm going to have a heart attack. Paul went to Damascus. They had him hemmed up. And they were about to kill him. Oh, they wanted to kill him. But some Christians got together, made a big old wicker basket. Two or three ladies from the auxiliary weaved up a rope, tied it onto the basket. They threw Paul in that basket, started letting him down. Oh, he's going to make it. Yeah, he got out. Amen. They stoned him at Lystra. Oh, man, poor Paul's dead. You know how it is in the movie? They shot the guy. He's laying there. They cut to a commercial. You're thinking, my hero's dead. My hero is dead. This must be the last episode. You should know better. He ain't going to die in the middle of a season. I wonder if he's going to make it. It cuts back to the thing. It shows his body laying over there limp in the corner. And as they get close, you can see his chest going up and down. He's still alive. James Bond is still alive. One time Paul went into Lystra, was preaching the gospel, and they took stones and stoned him to death. They drug him out of town. Nobody's going, Paul! Ah! But then the Bible says this, that as they were looking, his chest started moving. Does it say that or don't it? Did it happen?
Yeah.
Okay, it says it then. See, you've been reading your Bible like.
That's right.
Take a breath, man.
Yeah.
That's good stuff in there.
Yes, sir.
All the stuff on TV, listen, check it and see. All the drama on television stole from your Bible.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's stories in there about romance.
Right.
Ladies, you love. Ladies, just can't wait to go get my new Harlequin romance. There's plenty of romance in the Bible. Y'all ladies don't read Harlequin, do you? You read the little Amish books.
Because
you like that kind of story. Man, those stories are all through the Bible.
Yeah.
One day there's this little girl named Ruth, and she was looking over to a fella named Mike. I mean, Boaz. That's in the Bible, man. How to Catch a Husband. She snuck on him while he was asleep.
That's it.
Get away from me, woman. That's in the Bible. That's, all you fellas, I need to watch me a new Mel Gibson movie where he kills about 90 people. That's in the Bible. Oh, Elijah said, hey, you prophets, come on over here. Come on. Hey, even Jesus, when he was about to wind up his ministry, said, you fellas better buy some swords. They just tried to use them too soon. Amen. See, he wanted them to have swords, so they got him some swords. Said, I got two. He said, that's enough. Two swords is better than the whole arsenal, I guess. Two swords, that's enough. Then they come out there to take Jesus, and they start chopping ears off. The Lord says, no, not now. After that, guess what? Ever since, no, we can't use swords. Go, it streamed one way, it streamed the other. No, you can use them. Just not while the Lord's trying to die for your sins. It's a mystery. It's in the Bible. But you ain't excited about it. Why? Either you ain't been saved or you ain't breathing. Well, I think when we come down to the house of God, we ought to be more respectful. And you should. But listen. Shouting and praising God is all the respect you can have. You can't have no more respect than that. I just don't think we ought to, you know, be so... No. This ought not be a morgue. Breathe a little bit. Well, I can't come back here. All these people are shouting. They're all wearing overalls and shouting real loud. I think they might be against the government or something. Well... We love Jesus and we don't like Obama.
Right.
We wish he'd get saved.
Amen.
Right.
But it's more fun than. That's too much exercise for me. Amen. Well, I do have a sermon here. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. You know where the Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish?
Yeah.
We are fortunate enough to have the only religion that's inspired by a heavenly vision.
Yeah.
The Lord's vision.
Amen.
I've got a vision for this church. Some of you men got a vision for this church. Some of you men have a vision for your future. Some of you ladies have a vision for your children and stuff like that. All that's well and good, but it'll never match the heavenly vision. God has a plan that's bigger than our plans, more important than our plans. Did you know God's plan is more important than your plans? Some of you right now, I love the fact we got young men in the church. I love the fact we got young ladies. And some of you are trying to figure out where you're going to work and what kind of education you're going to have. But can I tell you this morning, what God has planned for you is far more important and desires much more of your attention than how many dollars an hour you're going to make. You say, what? It's the heavenly vision. Amen. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Some of you just being disobedient to the heavenly vision. You care more about your earthly vision than the heavenly vision. Amen. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea. This is Paul's testimony about what he done. I wasn't disobedient to what God just told me. What I talked about in verse 16, 17, and 18, Paul said, hey, I wasn't disobedient to that. I jumped on it, amen. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God. That's the message of the church, folks, that you should repent and turn to God. Well, you know, and people always know. I didn't get to it this morning in the Sunday school class, but we'll get to it, I think, next week. And the summary of it all, I'll just boil it down to this, is you know what's wrong, man. You know what's wrong. Even this little baby girl here says amen to that. You know what's wrong in your life. If you lied, you know you told a lie. Amen. I was looking at some stuff this week, and it was a little questionnaire, and it said, have you ever told a lie to anybody about anything? And they all popped up. Let me think about that. They popped up. Listen, one of the questions said, have you ever stole anything? Man, it popped up right there. Did y'all know y'all preacher is a thief? I stole something before. And as soon as, listen, I didn't have, let me think whether or not I've stole anything. No, sir, the items just popped up right in front of my face like magic. Boom, there they was. You don't have to think about it. So the problem is not finding out what you've done wrong. The problem turns out to be repenting over it. You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have done it. Just say, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Help me. I prayed that this week. Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Help me. Try not to kill me over it, Lord. Help me. Forgive me. There's no use in just hiding it and taking up for it. You know it ain't right. You're not going to be able to convince God it's right. Well, preacher, I'm going to have to just disagree with you about that. And I just don't see it as right and wrong. Yes, you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking about it. Yes, sir. The stuff that I don't feel like's a sin, I don't even try to justify it to nobody, because who do I have to justify it to? Look God in the face. I believe I'm going to keep doing this if you don't mind. You can't do that. You say, what do you need to do? Man, it's so much better on this side. Say, God, I'm sorry for that. And just stop doing it, amen? Say, well, I stopped doing it last week, and I'm so weak I picked it up again. Okay, say you're sorry again and quit again. Listen, I don't care if you quit 500 times. It's not going to make you any less of a Baptist. It'll just make you a human being. Just quit it again. Well, oops, I done it again. Okay, quit again. See, what people want to do is they want to say God is love and He accepts everything, so let's just do everything. That's not right, man. Amen. You got to quit. An old Presbyterian said this on a TV interview. TV tries to make preachers look crazy. But this fellow was pretty wise, and he did a pretty good job in his interview. And she's giving him trouble about a lot of stuff he preaches and a lot of convictions that he has. And she's bringing up some issues about people's, faults and failures. Talking about Christians' faults and failures. And this old man had some wisdom, and he said this. He said, listen. Christianity is not so much about making you quit things or being a better person. Christianity is not just about making you a better person. It's about getting you to the place where you realize that you're not God, that you're not like God, and wanting to do something about that. And a lot of Christians never been there. A lot of Christians came down and got saved on a promise of heaven. Listen to me. A lot of Christians, a lot of so-called Christians, made a profession of faith under the pretense that they were going to receive heaven. That's what they came for, to receive heaven. What you should have done was come to Jesus to receive forgiveness of sins, because that's what He died for. And once you get forgiveness of sins, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's just, You're going to do it again, and you're going to do it again, you're going to do it again. You're going to get some victories, and you're going to hold on to those. You're going to get some victories and give ground and gain ground and give ground. The thing about it is repentance toward God. Say, hey, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, you're right. Amen. Repent and turn to God. Amen. And do works. That's Ephesians chapter 2. This is the verse they'll quote to you, Brother Tommy. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They'll quote that to you all day. But they never quote the next verse. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God created you to make you better than you was today. And I'm a sinner today, Brother Curtis, and I'm rotten today, Brother Curtis, but I'm better than I was the day before I got saved. And I got saved about 5 years old. I was the rottenest five-year-old you ever seen in your life. That rotten little five-year-old shows up from time to time. Don't the five-year-old show up.
Amen.
Amen. He shows up. But see, I done repented towards God. Hey, Lord, help me out with this. That's going to be my life to the day I die. If I live to be 48 or if I live to be 88 or 98, that's going to be my life. You're still thinking, one of these days I'm going to get the handle of all this. No, sir. You're going to ride the lightning until you go to your grave. Amen. That's what Paul was sent to preach. For these cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. They're not going to love you. They're not going to love you. Guess what? Thomas Jefferson and George Washington is going to fall by the wayside, and they're going to come after your liberties, and they're going to try to shut your mouth as Christians. They're going to try to get your Bible. And it ain't worked in the last 2,000 years, and it ain't going to work in the next 2,000 years. And they might kill your body just like they killed Paul's. Hey, they went about to kill him. They finally succeeded. But that didn't stop the gospel. Mm-mm. No, sir. They figured when they killed Stephen, it was going to end everything right there, and they killed him. And think about it. God let them kill him. But didn't stop Christianity. Matter of fact, whatever was on Stephen went over there and got on Paul. And after Paul walked around with it for a couple of months, the Lord said, hey, big boy, we just read the account of it right there. It's hard to kick against the pricks, ain't it? Some of you can leave mad here this morning. He told me I need to be saved and I need to be a better Christian. Well, it's going to keep eating on you just like that until you get down on your face and say, he said something about what one of the things I really like the most. And he really talked about something that I really believe and that I really care a lot about. And it's going to eat at you until you get it right. You can be as mad as me as you want to be. Amen. I've had people leave out of these back doors cussing me and saying every bad thing about it. When I see them on the street, they got a smile on their face. Hey, Brother Mike. Hey, how are you, Brother Mike? You know why? Because when they went out of those doors and went their own way, God ate their lunch. God changed their lives. God took those thorny thorns and poked them in the eyeball with it just every chance that he got until their lives fell apart. Until their lives fell apart. And I'm trusting in my heart that every one of those people came to the place, they're still alive, they seem to be happy. I hope they got to the place, not where they said, Brother Mike was right. I don't care about that. God is right and God rules and God is right about everything. I need to get right with God. I trust every one of them got to that point. They're still alive. Most of them are still alive. And listen, it's hard to kick against those pricks. They cut Stephen down. They might cut you down. You're going to preach the gospel, they might cut you down. Some of them Muslims out there, some of them Jews, you're telling their religion's not right out at the prison house. They might stick you one of these days. So, well, God's going to protect me because I'm the man of God. Didn't protect Paul. Didn't protect Job. Listen, if there's a better man than Paul or Job sitting in this building, you stand up and become the pastor of this church right now. And God let both of those men go. One of them died. One man lost everything that he had. He got it back. But still lost everything that he had. He got it back and more. But those are the two best men I know about. They some men in the Bible that God thought a lot about. In one place he said, if Job and Daniel was in this place, Jeremiah, I can't remember who the other one was. He said, but if these three men was in this city, I wouldn't save it. That shows he thought that was the best examples he'd come up with. Well, I've been reading my Bible every day for 6 months. God's not going to let anything bad happen to me. Man, that's not the point. Jesus was the Son of God, and God let him hang him on the cross. It's not the point. The point is, they can't kill us. Whatever they do against us, one of these days we're going to come back and take over. May as well serve him instead of ourselves. Amen. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God. I preached that sermon to you about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Maybe 3 weeks ago. Having therefore obtained help of God. I continue into this day. You're going to have to keep living for God, folks. You say, well, how are we going to manage in this environment? God will help you. God will help you. Well, I keep trying to have godly principles, and all my friends make fun out of my... God's going to help you. Your friends will make fun of you. Sure. But God will help you. Some of them you'll win. Amen? They're going to call you mad and crazy. Verse 24, as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You've gone crazy with this Christianity. Okay, but he says, I'm not crazy. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not crazy. I'm telling you. No doubt about it. Brother Mike's the craziest preacher in Folkston. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not setting my own agenda or telling you my own favorite things. I'm telling you what the Bible says, and it's true. It's true. Just like with Paul, you can take it or leave it. Stone me or not stone me. But one of these days, the Lord that I'm preaching about is going to come, and you're going to find out that these things are so. Amen? He said, much learning make you mad, but he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. Then verse number 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He's talking to this king, and that king said, hey, that's an impressive sermon. You almost convinced me to be a Christian. He said, look here, I wish that every person in this building was just like me, except for without these bonds. Paul was wearing prison chains. He said, I wish everybody would get on. Some people say, well, Christians are bigots, and they don't like this, and they don't like faggots, and they don't like drunkards, and they don't like all that. Listen, we want everybody to get saved. Yeah, sometimes you got to use the compassionate approach. Sometimes you got to use the straightforward approach. But listen, you get saved today, you'll be my brother. I don't care who you are, what you are. Listen, there's not a sin on this earth that God didn't die for. There's not a sin on this earth that the Lord didn't pay for in His blood. If you're out there and you're racked by the wages of sin, and sin's got a death grip on you, pulling you down to hell, why don't you just give up and say, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. And He'll do that for you. And then He'll change you and give you a new life. And if you're already saved, listen, won't you one day you bowed your knee and you asked the Lord to save you, and you've been fighting against being saved ever since. Well, I don't want to read my Bible every day. Man, just read it. It's God trying to talk to you. Well, one of these days, I guess I'm going to have to go witness with all these people. The preacher keeps saying go witness and all this stuff. Just do it, man. Just give up. That's what God saved you for. Well, I've been going to this crazy church for a year now, and they're all the time shouting, and I don't know whether to leave it. Hey, jump in. The water's fine, man. You'd be surprised how much stress will fall off your shoulder if you just stand up one day and go, Hallelujah! Yeah. And then look around. Listen, look around and see who all's looking at you. Ain't nobody looking at you. You won't say amen because they might think something. They're not even thinking. You think too much of yourself, man. Ain't nobody looking at you. I look around in here while sometimes, and I'll see it building up on somebody's face, and all of a sudden, amen. Nobody even looks. Their face turns red and they slink down their seat a little bit. Nobody's looking at you, man. Nobody's looking. Only God. Only God. Now, if you get carried away, what, Brother Mike, you just said you were watching. That's right. You get carried away, I'm going to watch. I'm glad about it. Not mad at you. I was preaching today and someone had the audacity to agree with me. I'm not used to that sort of thing. No, man, that's what we're here for. Get in on it. Hallelujah. Get saved. Once you get saved, get in. Why? Because it's a continuing ministry. Got more work to do. People out there lost need to be saved. People out there saved need to be edified and established. Part of those people are you. Amen. I myself need some more establishment. I need some good hard preaching. I need some good singing. Sometimes I need you to shout. Tommy, I need you to shout your full head off. You say, why? Because it helps. It helps, amen. It helps. It's an encouragement. Sitting there, somebody singing the greatest song ever written, and everybody's, amen. Just say amen. Amen. I know you like it. You've been coming here 10 years.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Amen. Didn't look around and say, got a problem with that? Just get bold. Get bold about it. Say amen. Hey, old woman, you got a problem with me shouting? That's the woman talking to the man. Amen. That's what some men are today. They just old women.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of you men need to stand up and just say, hallelujah. Well, I don't know if I can go to visitation this week, preacher. I have to ask my wife. Yeah, I know. Just jump in, say amen a couple times. You'll get the boldness. Maybe once you get the boldness to say hallelujah, you'll get the boldness to stand up to your wife.
That's right.
Amen. You two fellas better. Your wives will beat y'all to death. I'm just kidding. Pray for us, brother.